coming in from London, from over the pole, flying in a big airliner. Chicken flying everywhere around the plane. Could we ever feel much finer? Coming into Los Angeles, bringing in a couple of keys. Don't touch my bags if you please, Mr. Customs Man.
Welcome to show 12. My name is Chris.
And I'm Hank.
And we are My Mac Guys.
I hope that doesn't really annoy anybody out there, but we know that there's one person that will annoy.
That's just for you.
Whatever his name was. Welcome back, show 12. Nice to be here.
Very nice.
We just had a great conversation with somebody, which I hope we will introduce into a future show.
Only to be referred to here as Madam X.
Madam X.
Find out who Madam X is.
And win a... Never mind. Okay. Starting off the show right this time with a little bit of Apple news before we dive into our show topic. This came over, you know, was hot on a couple of websites for a short period of time, and I just thought it was funny. But I think it's Korean or a Taiwanese company that made an exact copy of the Shuffle and was selling it at like a trade show.
No,
there's a picture right here. It's basically. After persuading the name of the company's Lux Pro to remove its iPod Shuffle knockoff from its stand at the CeBIT trade show on Friday, this was a couple weeks ago, Apple was met with little cooperation on Saturday as the Taiwanese company put this device back on display. So the company at the trade show, this is what I read, they had this thing out on display at the trade show that Apple was also representing at.
Right.
And Apple, at the end of that first day, had a meeting with them and said, guys,
it's over.
You got to take this off. And they took it off the second day. And then the third day, they just put it back out.
I like that.
Isn't that great?
That's
and they just said, you literally can't tell the difference, except it just doesn't have a logo on it.
Hey, what's the name of the company again?
Lux Pro.
No way. I just bought 20,000 shares of Lux Pro. I can't believe it.
And it's like half the price. Or, you know, in Taiwanese dollars, whatever that is.
Yeah, but, you know, there was one company that did an absolute ripoff of the Blueberry IMAX at one point. It was a PC company, mm-hmm. and they, too, were ordered cease and desist. But mm-hmm. I went to a Circuit City, and I thought I saw an Apple there, and I walked up to it, and it was about at 5 feet. I realized it's not even the iMac, and I wondered how they could do it, and they didn't do it for long.
Yeah, no, Well, copyright or whatever.
Well, that's good news. And actually, that leads us to our main topic today, which is our ode to the man himself, Steve Jobs.
Yep.
And, you know, we've been talking about Apple. We're 12 shows deep, and we haven't really mentioned much about the man behind the curtain.
Yeah.
And that's Steve Jobs. And this guy...
Is it Steve Jobs? The Steve Jobs?
It's the Steve Jobs. I was thinking about the story of Job, and I was wondering if it wasn't going to become Steve Jobs. You know, remember the story in the Bible where God takes everything away from a guy? And when you know, he had literally been... Apple had been ripped away from him. They forced him out, and then he was forced to go and make another company, which was the next computer company, which I'd love to talk about in a minute. But just to see him back, mm-hmm. I think watching him come back was kind of, I never really enjoyed baseball or major league sports. So for me, Steve Jobs coming back to Apple was the equivalent mm-hmm. of a great ball player who was traded out, suddenly returning to the team that made him great. And it just you know, makes your chest fill up with pride and go, come on, I'm rooting for him now.
I agree. And it's funny because I actually kind of never liked the guy.
He was cockier, though.
It was his return. I mean, my only Steve Jobs story, which I tried to get my friend on so I could Skype them in during the show. But basically, this was in, I think, in the early 80s. I'd have to find out. But it was when he was completely out of the loop.
Right.
And she went on a blind date with him.
You are kidding me.
Through a dating service.
You're kidding.
And she doesn't have a computer. She probably still doesn't own a computer. She doesn't know how to use her email. I know. She's a doctor now.
Don't be bashing Steve. If you
No.
Is this going to be a Steve bashing story?
It's not a Steve bashing story. It's just,
I won't allow it on my Mac guy.
She did not know who he was.
Right.
It was literally a conversation after the blind date of her describing the guy and people realizing his name.
That's amazing.
She just had this date with Steve Jobs. And, I mean...
That's a screenplay. I'm sorry.
My she did Steve. Say that he was extremely... full of himself, shall we say.
And I say that if he'd done the things that this man had done at the age of, if that story's as old as it is, he was in his mid-30s, that it's hard not to
be
a little full of yourself.
Yeah,
having changed the world with your little box.
Absolutely. I have nothing ill to say about what he did, but it doesn't mean that the kind of, you know what? I'm way outstepping my bounds. I don't know the guy.
You don't know.
The point of the story was that when he came back to Apple... there was a source of pride for me, and I really felt like I think it's just an amazing thing that he has done. And I mean, I know that my interest in so many ways that I express myself creatively are solely due to the simplicity of which that platform exists.
Yes.
You know, it's like I talk to enough people, and I've spent enough idle time looking at a PC, and I know I could get what I need done. And I'm not saying it's like necessarily that black and white, but
I'll say it. Well, it's that black and
white. It is. Well, yeah. You know, but I do know that it's just has made the ability to make movies and printed forms and collages and you name it.
And actually, it's funny because today I did dip into Leo Laporte's show and I just happened to tune in when he was explaining that there are no Mac viruses. This woman was calling up and saying, should I be worried? And he said, well, you know, there haven't been Mac viruses for 3 years. And you know, I just love the fact that that's still something we can all agree on, that this platform is solid and it's just getting better.
Well,
and I know that someday it's probably susceptible to some hacker going after it for fun,
right,
just to claim it.
Absolutely.
And we all know that things crash. We know that.
But. Well, I mean, I think it's interesting that I can't remember what recently I was having a conversation just about, a client about just what operating system they were working on. And it's like, just any reference we've spoken on the show to anything, you know, pre-OS X. I mean, I can comfortably say I have not had a kernel panic, which is what a crash is now called in OS X, in months.
Yeah.
Literally.
Right.
And I have had applications crash, but I don't have to, you know, I don't restart and blah, blah, blah. And that's astounding. I used to just live in fear of every piece of software I would add on to my computer under OS 9. As wonderful as Apple was, it was still very, you know, persnickety in that way. Anyway, that's almost another topic because we're talking about...
Everything is Steve. Everything has to come back to Steve. And I had the great pleasure of traveling to my favorite place, Taos, New Mexico. And I was in the magazine, looking at the magazines, and there was a Fortune this month's, or I should say last month's cover of Fortune. That would be the February, actually, that's a little old, February issue.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically was an article with Steve on the cover saying, how big can Apple get? And it really tells the entire story of Steve and his journey to where he is now, set in, as his own quote says, and I'm quoting from this magazine, this isn't a company about 5% market share. This is a company that is capable of competing with world-class competitors and achieving market shares of 65, 70, and even 90%, which is a pretty bold statement. But I think there's something to be said for the fact that he's brought...
Well, I think, you know, I think you should add to the end of that what you've told me about on your the trip back from Taos, that you were sitting...
Oh, yeah. I was sitting on an airplane, and I was just plugging my iPod in when, out of the corner of my eye, I happened to capture a view of no less than 5 iPods being plugged in at the same time.
Right.
That's an Apple moment. Come
that's
on.
Pretty amazing.
And that's one guy. That's Steve Jobs. And also in the article, they explain the importance of that gadget to the entire... worldview shifting and Apple becoming important again. They just clobbered Sony.
Mm-hmm.
Sony and Walkman was the concept of portable music.
Right.
Sony has missed the mark, may never catch up, and the guys who are running that division are very open about the fact that they just got caught by a smarter guy.
Right.
And Steve Jobs is the guy.
Yep. You mentioned Next, and I remember when Next happened, because at that point it was like, it looks so darn cool. Yeah. I wanted it, you know?
Yeah, of course.
But of course it never really saw the light of day, and I don't really know much about it, but you started to tell me a really cool story the other day about it.
Yeah, well, here's the deal. For a while I lived up in Santa Cruz, and I had a part-time bartending job, but it was corporate bartending. It was a 5-star hotel that catered to Silicon Valley and having people come and fly into this wonderful resort. And I was often asked to sign non-disclosure, is that what they call it? Non-disclosure form, if I was going to be present at an event where they were discussing technology or anything. It could be a convention of dentists. So I signed these things without even thinking. And next thing you know, I go to a room of a group of people, and there's a shape on a desk with some sort of covering over it, you know, like a sheet. And the lights go down. Now, this is a meeting where sometimes you just serve soda water, but these guys were allowed to party. This is definitely let your hair down. We're going to have some fun. And it said that the group was called Next. Hmm. Now, I knew what it was, but I couldn't believe I was that lucky, because, you know, I loved computers then. I'm sitting at the back of the room. I've already poured drinks for the whole group. And the next thing, no pun intended, is they start to unveil the latest version of this new computer, Next. Now, I wish I could tell you Steve was in the room. Mm-hmm. Steve was probably on the campus at this place called the Chaminade at the time. And anybody who knows that to be true can let us confirm that. But these were the heavy hitters at Next. And I was in hog heaven. I was sitting there, and they were showing me basically what is I perceive to be the first version of the OS X platform, because it had a dock. It had the large icons that we now know to be the dock. It was on its way to being a 3D look, as much as they could get it at the time. And certainly it was light years ahead of what was out at that point. And I sat there and watched them explain their plan for bringing this platform out. Mm. And then within maybe a year, it was over. It was over. I saw it in one dentist office.
Really?
That I went to, that had networked the entire office to Next. And I be honest with you, I almost... years later thought I would love to just buy one and mess around with it, but of course it's sort of chasing.
Have you looked into like finding one on eBay or
anything? I was looking for Newtons this week. I don't know what happened, but I suddenly realized I wish I never sold my Newton, just because I'm about to, like, because there is no, well, this is leading to our next show, you know, what is your PIM? What is your personal information manager system? And
geek jargon.
I think the Newton was on its way, and if it had just, if they'd stuck with it, I really think that could be the gadget. The problem was size.
Right. Well, and for all we know.
But help me bring it back to
Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs, the man. I think he looks great, by the way.
Yeah, he does.
You know, it kind of looks like me. Look,
he looks a lot.
Yes,
I think I
he's about 40 pounds lighter than me. But
I envision a side-by-side comparison on our blog spot pretty soon.
I think Steve and I would have a good time hanging out. Don't you, Hank?
I do, too.
Because he's got a huge computer company, and I have a podcast. I think that's grounds for hanging out.
You guys have a lot to talk about.
But, you know, again, this is the gist of this article at the end is that if there's such a thing as a genie in the bottle, Steve is the genie for Apple. And in a weird way, he was almost hinting at, you make sure nothing ever happens to the genie, because he really is the visionary. And I think every great company has to have somebody who isn't necessarily the programmer or the nuts and bolts, but he's the visionary. He's the guy. What's the automobile that I'm thinking of?
Well, Ford or...
No, they made the movie.
Or Tucker.
You know, Tucker. Tucker may not have been the actual designer, but he was the guy with the vision for it.
Sure, absolutely.
And that's what this guy's about. And he's also a great front man, a hype man.
Yeah,
I mean, in the P.T. Barnum tradition, but delivers. And also this article is about the fact that they're banking on software. That's their thing. And I've often said to clients asking me why they should go to 10... I know the toys are free, iLife, which is also our upcoming show. We're going to talk about that free toy. But they do make their money on upgrades. Mm-hmm. And the fact is, they'll hand you the keys and they'll get you using it all.
Right.
And then you'll gladly pay for whatever will open up the next level of it.
Right.
So he's giving you all these toys, but the one caveat is you have to use our box.
Right.
And that's a pretty fair trade for me.
Yeah, it makes sense. It makes sense. Well, I think that actually... And is there something else you want to cover specifically about Steve Jobs?
Yeah, I would like to go to Steve's house this weekend with you, and I'm just waiting for someone to call us and invite us. So, Steve? Okay.
Well, if you're out there, you can Skype us at any time.
Come on. All kidding aside, would it not be cool to just hang? Remember my idea for a documentary last year, which was two geeks, not that I can think of it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it was basically wanting to, it's kind of like going to Oz. Like,
right. Come forward! The great and powerful Oz knows why you have come.
For better or for worse, we try to go and meet with Steve and just hang out with him, just thank him for that little invention that's changed all of our lives.
It is a good idea.
So maybe that idea is still happening, and this is like something that would be in the film.
That's right.
But we haven't been running a camera, so.
Well.
All right. That leads us, my friend.
Podcast of the week.
Podcast of the week for me is Earthwatch Radio. And for all of you environmentally conscious folks out there, ourselves included, it's a great collection of news up to the date about what's happening on the planet, everything from the ozone layer to recycling to just what you can do, places that you can get active. And it's just a great, cool show. And it's one of those shows that makes you feel like there's an importance to certain levels of podcasting that maybe these guys wouldn't ever have a commercial radio show, Earthwatch. Mm-hmm. And with this, they
podcasting
can get...
Podcasting with a conscience.
Yeah, absolutely.
That sounds very cool.
I love it.
Yeah. Looking forward to checking
it out.
A
lot of great info on that. And what about widgets, my friend?
Widget. My widget pick is something called Quitling.
Quitling.
Quitling. And, you know, it's one of those things that I realize a lot of the widgets that I, you know, started to make a list of are things that, I mean, I used to just try everything, you know, just because that I just was a widget freak and I basically wanted to just load up my computer with as many widgets as possible.
Yeah, I did that for a little bit.
And I kind of passed that because I think I just outgrew the concept. So what I realize now is that I look, if I need something, like if I need a menu or a calendar, something, or a clock, or something like that. I try a bunch, and then,
on an as needed basis, you go out.
Right, I go out and look for it, and I try whatever available, and whatever survives, whatever stands the test of time.
Yes,
you know, and so something like Quitling is so integral to my working on the computer now that I can't believe that it hasn't been bought out by Apple because it's a very simple device, and I also often forget, like when I go to somebody who uses somebody else's computer, I forget that it's not built into the OS. Anyway.
So you're trying to activate it, it's not there.
Right. I mean, all it is basically it puts a menu in your, it puts
good,
it,
I'm hanging on baited.
In your Apple, your applications menu that allows you to do things like quit all applications in one moment.
Oh, absolutely need that.
And or what's even better, I find, is that because it's a frustration I have for using the Mac OS X, is that if you have six applications running,
yes,
you put whatever application you want in the foreground, and then you can quit the rest of them. So it says quit everything else. So you quit everything except the foreground application.
Right.
I can't remember how they state it. But and that's, you know, it costs $10. It's from a company called Catchy Software. All the information's on our blog spot.
You just triggered yourself as a power user. In the old days, we talked about this on the show 5 that was erased, which is there was a questionnaire years ago about what made you a power user. You know, do you have an external modem? Do you have an external hard drive? How many apps do you have open? And you just said, well, you know, because you have six apps open as if everybody has six apps open.
Right.
And I do believe you are officially still a power user.
I am a power user. And I'm also somebody that just am anal about kind of maintaining, you know, maintenance, which we've spoken about, but just like I like to keep a very tidy desktop. I mean, all my icons are organized and everything. Huh. I rarely leave anything on the desktop. I move them into subfolders very quickly.
Geek alert. Right. Well, then you might like my shareware pick, I anal, which is a very. No, I'm only kidding.
All right. And some mail.
Right, check. We're already. Yes, you bet. We're already. Here we go.
Yeah, we got a little mail today, and it is not very friendly, is all I can say.
Bring it on, baby.
Okay, we got a letter today. Guys, if I may offer one suggestion, Hank sounds like he's halfway across the room. To which I say, he is.
Hello! I'm over here!
While the other person, Henry, this is funny, is right on top of the microphone.
Hi, I'm over here. That's me, Henry.
I have to start this over. Hank sounds like he's halfway across the room while the other person, Henry, is right on top of the microphone. Apparently, this person has never heard of the Hank being the short word, the abbreviation for Henry, or the nickname, rather. You really need to balance the distance out.
Henry, no, Henry, just repeat what you said, Henry.
But it says...
No, Henry.
Henry. Excuse me, Henry.
No, I'm Hank.
Oh, sorry, Henry.
So Henry.
Oh, Hank. Henry. Right. And who's the other guy? All right. You really need to balance the distance out. Your show is okay. You talk to each other too much instead of the audience. If you get your audio worked out, let me know, and I'll reconsider adding your podcast. But the one I heard was just a Photoshop spat between the two of you. Bruce, from the podcast bunker. We both had different reactions to this letter. I have no problem with people offering feedback and positive or negative. But this presupposes that he will reconsider our podcast for approval. I felt the tone set me off from the minute I read it. I think it's just putting him in a position of judging the show, whereas other negative emails have come in with little smiley faces, like the guy who said that he didn't like us saying my Mac guys all the time. You had a different hit on it.
Well, I just think that I would say that his tone, even though it's even just email, is no different from the tone you just had reading his email.
I was not fair in reading his email.
That's what I thought.
All right, I'll reread it.
Don't reread it. I
was angry from the start.
I just think it's an example of, it doesn't matter what, I don't care what his tone is. I think there is some valid information in his email. And if I choose to just read his email completely from a distance point of view without any vested interest in him saying something damaging about our podcast, then maybe... And if there isn't, then I can just ignore the email.
Well, but remember this, that I did not know that you had solicited him. This is the problem. And this is my formal apology to this guy who I fired off a pretty nasty email to. But it was fairly humorous. But anyway, Bruce from the podcast bunker, you have to understand that I did not know that Henry had submitted my Mac guys for approval or disapproval. So I thought I got this email completely out of the blue, thinking that you had just picked on our podcast. Well, I realize that we were submitted for a potential review, I get it. Okay, so that's all I want to say.
I think that's that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I understand.
That's what it was. I didn't know that you'd submitted the show.
Okay.
So, but anyway.
All right. Okay, touch
Hank,
the subject. All right.
Henry, Hank.
A friend may should call
and
me.
And the other guy, by the way, is named Chris. Just in case
Bruce wants to know. That's the other guy.
You got an email from Chris, the third guy in the room.
All right. Excellent work, and thanks.
I don't know about that.
Hello to Steve and any but friends of Steve.
We bow to Steve. I bow to Steve. I just think the guy's great.
He is.
And by the way, the keynote addresses, I just think they're great. I love watching them.
Cool.
I'm a geek.
Well, come on back to show 13, where we'll be talking about something we just talked about a little bit tonight, which is personal information management.
Or PIMS.
PIMS, PDAs, and how to deal with all this information on your computer and getting it onto your cell phone and onto your PDA if you have one or whatever.
Until Apple solves it for us, Steve.
Hint, hint.
Hint, hint. We're okay. Waiting.
All right. Later.
All right. See ya. Bye.
You've been listening to
My Mac Guys.
My name is Henry.
And I'm Chris.
And all contact information can be had at one fantastic website, and that is mymacguys.blogspot.com.